Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow in thy holy presence, conscious of satanic resistance to us as we would come to worship, come to pray, and come to praise thy name. Yet we thank thee for the blood of the everlasting covenant, which has opened for us a new and living way, right into thine own immediate presence, right into the holiest of all. I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but lost. I shall full salvation find. Oh God, today, let the blood of sprinkling rest upon our hearts, upon our minds, upon our inmost soul, that the very springs of our being, may there be the purging of the blood, and the purging of the fire, and the purging of the water of thy word. Lift us higher from the carnal mind. Set us free. Fill us with refining fire. Give us perfect liberty. We pray that there'll be liberty in this house today. Lift all depression from our mind. Release us today from the pressures of life, the pressures of business, of home, of family, of all that would tie us and bind us and chain us and depress us. Oh God, give us complete deliverance. Grant that this morning we'll be a free people, serving the Lord in the freedom of the Holy Ghost. Oh, blessed Spirit, come. Blow upon these pews. Blow upon these hearts. Make this a time of refreshment, a time of endowment, a time of enablement from the presence of the Lord. Oh God, help us, we pray, and grant that this altar of ours may return to thee. We thank thee, our God, for the yelps from the enemies of the gospel. We thank thee, our God, that the sword has gone into their innards, and we can hear their cry. Continue, our God, to confound them and slay them utterly. And grant, O God, that this land will know there is a God in Israel, and that God answers prayer and delivers his people and does miracles for his people. Oh, continue to work for and on our behalf. Hear now this prayer, and be with us this day, for Christ's sake. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The 20th chapter of the first book of Kings, and the latter part of verse 14. Who shall order the battle? And he answered, thou. Who shall order the battle? And he answered, thou. A complimentary text, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. Who shall order the battle? Thou. I have fought a good fight. Come with me this morning up the turret steps and on to the wall of ancient Samaria. Look out over the landscape, and what shall we see? We shall see a great and vast army, totally and absolutely conquered. The pavilions and tents are torn in pieces and burned with fire. Broken spears are strewn across the whole face of the earth. Dented shields are piled up in heaps. Broken chariots are all littered across the fields and the highways and the laneways. And there are shouts of victory and joy from the throats of the 7,000 conquerors in the armies of Israel. The inveterate enemies of Israel, the Syrians, led by their champion king, King Ben-Hadad, and accompanied by 32 vassal kings, have all been totally and utterly destroyed. The songs of victory and the trumpets are blown in defiance as Israel has conquered her foe. That battlefield tells a story. It is a story of the massing of the enemies of Israel against the ancient city Samaria. In that city there's a wicked king. His name is Ahab. He is married to the most wicked monster of a wife, Jezebel. And Ben-Hadad challenges Ahab, and he said, "Your silver and your gold and your children and your wives are mine. I have come to take them." Ahab sends back word and he says, "Yes, my wives, my children, my silver and my gold are thine. You can have them." Then Ben-Hadad says, "I have something else to say to you. I am coming into your city and everything therein, I want to take my pick and make my choice. I am sovereign. Supreme! And I will do exactly what I want to do." And what did the king Ahab then say? Will you look at it? It's a very important word. Verse 9. "This thing I may not do." There is a time when we must take a stand. There is a time when there are things that must not and cannot be done. And the Lord Ahab was a wicked king, and the Lord his wife was a wicked idolatress. Yet when he took a stand for God's heritage, when he took a stand for the land of Israel, bequeathed by God in holy covenant to Abraham, God came to the aid of King Ahab. Let me say, it does not matter what complexity a government may be. If it takes its stand for certain great truths, God will help that government, as God helped Ahab in this evil day. Now you will notice a prophet of God came to Ahab. When the prophets of God came to Ahab, they usually came with a message of judgment. But this time they came with a message of encouragement, a message of deliverance, a message of victory. And the prophet of God said, "There's going to be judgment on Ben-Hadad and his army." And then the king said, "Who shall command the battle? Who shall order the battle?" And the prophet said, "Thou shalt order the battle." And you will notice that the battle was won by 7,000. There are 2 7,000s in the life of Ahab. There are 7,000 that didn't bow the knee to Baal. On that Mount Carmel, God said there are 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal, and because of them, God sent deliverance. Here we have another 7,000. Mark it. 7,000 in verse 15. And by these 7,000, God delivered the city. Well, I want to draw some lessons from this historical incident that is so graphically set before us in this 20th chapter of 1 Kings. Let me say, the Bible depicts life as a battle. And life is a battle. It used to be when a royal prince was born, his name was first inscribed in the roll of some famous regiment in the army. Because the royal prince was born to fight, born to be a warrior. Every man, woman, and child that's born into this world is born into the battle of life. And there is no escape from the warfare and the struggle and the conflict of this life. There are some here in this church today, and they're but new recruits to that battle. They're still in the barrack room. They're still in the training place. They've never really come to grips with the great enemies of life and with the great battle and conflict and confrontation of life. There are others of us here, and we have been many years in the conflict. We bear the marks of the battle in our minds, in our hearts, and in our inmost souls. We have been in the place of conflict, confrontation, and bitter antagonism. We have wrestled on toward heaven against storm and wind and tide. Yes, and there are some here, and for them the battle is almost past. Their warfare is almost accomplished. Soon shall the trumpet sound the recall note. And they will be summoned home for the rewards in the great gathering of the battles of those that have fought the battles of the Lord. But let me remind everybody here that life is a battle. I want to remind you of another great truth, that life is your battle. Who shall order the battle? Thou shall order the battle. There was a king called David. One day his armies went out to fight the rebellious armies of his son Absalom. And Absalom was slain. And when the army came back, they told the old father of the slaying of his son. He went up into the watchtower of the city. And as he went up every step, he cried out in grief, "Oh, Absalom! My son, would God I had died for thee." What was David doing? He was talking about an impossibility. No one can fight the battle of life for you. You must fight your own battle. There's many a father who would like to fight the battle of his son, but he can't do it. Many a mother who would like to fight the battle of her daughter, but she can't do it. Everyone must go out into the arena and struggle and campaign and fight their own battle. Every man, says the book, shall bear his own burden. It used to be in the British Army, one could buy themselves out of the ranks. But out of this army and from this battlefield, there is no discharge in this war. And you will fight life's battle on your own. You will stand on your own in the field of the darkest struggle. We have to fight sickness on our own. The doctor may come and try to aid us. Willing hands may try to nurse us. But the person that's upon that bed of sickness is in isolation. They fight the battle alone. And when death invades our homes, and takes away a loved one.
We fight the battle of bitter bereavement alone.
The widow
or the widower, the orphaned knows what I'm talking about. That's a battle that you fight on your own. And if some great trial comes our way, some great affliction crosses our path, when the sun shines no longer shines, when there's nothing but darkness and oppression and dismay and disillusionment before our eyes, down there in the valley, we fight alone. Who shall order the battle? Thou. You'll fight it alone. There is a battle that every one of us must fight. You will notice in this battle it says every man slew his own man. There is an enemy that you must defeat, and no one can defeat that enemy but you. There is a battle to be fought, and no one can fight that battle but you. There are forces to be routed, and regiments of hell to be contested and opposed. And you alone can fight that battle. Who shall order the battle but thou? Thomas Arnold of Rugby, in that book that many of us read when we were boys, Tom Brown's school days, had something to say about this man. He said it was no fool's or sluggard's paradise into which we have wandered by chance, but we are in a battlefield ordained from of old, where there are no spectators, but where the youngest must take his side. And the stakes are life and death. Thomas Arnold was right. We are not spectators. We are in this battle of life. It is your battle. But I want to finish with this word. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Montgomery, during the war, was asked by a young officer, "Sir, if you were in a difficult military situation, what would you do?" Monty said, "First I would pray, and then I would fight with all my might." Montgomery was right. The first thing you do is to pray, and the second thing you do is to fight with all your might. God is saying to you, you will order your own battle. When God gives the command to command, He also gives the ability to fulfill His command. God never asked me to climb a hill, but He gives me the courage and the strength and the ability to reach the top. God never asked me to go into the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil without providing me with the grace and the strength to meet every temptation and struggle that that battle will bring. I want to say today, as you look out over the wall, as you see the great armies massed against you, let me give you another vision. A vision of broken pavilions, burned tents, piled up dented shields, smashed spears, destroyed chariots. That's what happens when you know the battle is the Lord's. And great and untold struggles may lie ahead of us, but I'm glad today that when God says order the battle, He will give the grace and the strength and the help to His people to order it in the sure and certain course of a glorious and wonderful victory. How did Ahab feel as he walked down into that battleground, as he saw the whole vast army of his inveterate enemy totally and utterly destroyed?
as he heard the shouts of joy and the trumpet notes of victory, he learned that the battle was the Lord, and that the 7,000 had upon them the divine anointing to bring about a successful conclusion to the struggle. Brethren and sisters in Christ, you will fight this battle. It's your battle. But let us ever remember the battle is the Lord. This portion of Scripture has brought to my own soul intense and deep encouragement. And it matters not what we might see over the city wall this morning. It matters not what enemies may gather to surround the church and battle against the fortress of Zion. I have a greater vision. I see the shields dented and piled up upon the ground. I see the spears of the enemy smashed. I see the chariots of the devil's crowd destroyed. I see the flag of the cross unfurled and held aloft amidst the total and absolute and final victory of God over the enemies of the gospel. Who shall order the battle? Ah! God has given us a command. Let us fulfill it. And when the day of our battle is over, I hope that we will be like Mr. Valiant for the Truth. That is the one character in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress that I would like to be. And when the day of Mr. Valiant's battle for the truth came for him to cross over the river, this is what he said. I am going to my fathers, and though with great difficulty I have got hither, yet now I do not repent me of all the trouble I have been at to arrive where I now am. My sword I give to him that shall succeed me in my pilgrimage. And my courage and skill to him that can get it. My marks and scars I carry with me to be a witness for me that I have fought his battles. Who now will be my rewarder? When the day that he must go hence was come, many accompanied him to the riverside, into which, as he went, he said, Death, where is thy sting? And as he went down deeper, he said, Grave, where is thy victory? So he passed over, and all the trumpets sounded for him on the other side. May that be true of us all, for Jesus' sake.
Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. His divine will is sweet of me. Jesus shall lead me, not contain. Jesus shall lead me.
Remember Calvary. And this day help us to dedicate ourselves to fight the Lord's battles. We thank Thee that victory is assured. There's not an enemy that the power of God cannot break. There's not an army of hell that cannot be destroyed by celestial omnipotence. Oh God, our God, make us strong to fight the Lord's battles. And when our pilgrimage is over, and our last day of duty is done, may we be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. Help us, Lord, in the battle of life. And if there's someone here losing that battle badly because they haven't Christ in their heart, help them to come this morning and to trust in the great captain of our salvation and find redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. For Christ's sake, and everybody said, Amen.